Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
great gowns, beautiful gowns. Hello. Hello.
Que show.
Hello.
Que show. Que show.
Babelito, can you hear me? Babelito, I am here. Okay, good. I'm glad. So, we're trying a new recording situation, so I don't know what this is going to sound like. So, to all the listeners, sorry.
Hey, they want weekly recordings. Que se aguanten, cabrones. Órale.
Babelito has a microphone wrapped in a scarf, and he's sitting... I'm okay, so I'm over here with the pro sound equipment. I made a little makeshift studio in this Airbnb I'm staying in Pennsylvania, and Babelito's in Chicago in a little girl's room with a microphone wrapped in a scarf, and you have like a mosquito net over you. What the fuck?
We've made it.
We're really doing it, dude. Are you even talking into the microphone?
Yes, I am, pero las waves están bien altas, so I'm just like going away from it.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, good. Yeah. Good. Look at you know about sound and shit.
Hey, I've done my homework. How are you? What's going on? What happening? Where are you?
I'm living the dream, living my truth day to day, you know. Just here in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Shout out to Phoenixville, where white people gentrify white people. It's so beautiful.
Why don't white crime like bath bombs?
You know
bombs?
What? Why is nobody talking about white on white crime? It happens every day.
I mean, fucking Trump's attorney just went to jail today. Like, come on.
I know this white on white crime is getting out of control. Oh my gosh, Huffington Post, come on. So. I'm here because I'm working at the Berman Museum. The Berman Museum is found on the campus of Ursinus College, which is in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. And I'm doing a lovely installation downstairs, another one of my big paper murals. And then upstairs, I'm having a solo show that opens on September 6th called Representing Mexico. Jose Maria Velasco and the Politics of Paper.
Boom!
Curated by some guy named Dr. Emmanuel Ortega Rodriguez de la Cancha. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know her. She's basic. Whatever.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, if anybody's in the Philly area, I'm pretty close to Philadelphia, come through. I'll be installing here for the next couple of weeks. You can come help. I have a lovely Airbnb well, actually, I'm not gonna invite strangers to my house.
Yes,
but if I have met you,
reconsider
if
that.
I have previously met you, you can come over, hang out, we can watch. I watched a marathon of the Wayans Brothers sitcom from the 90s today. It's been great.
Beautiful. Wait, a marathon of 90s shows and you haven't seen Casa de las Flores?
Bitch, I knew you were gonna bring that up.
Of course,
I know. It's because I'm limiting my Netflix time because I'm actually working right now, so I had to finish Orange is the New Black, and then Insecure.
God. Is that still a thing?
Shut up, don't even start with me. I've watched every episode of Friends 16 times, looking ass bitch.
I miss Friends. I haven't watched Friends in like 3 months.
Yeah, speaking of white on white crime, so I don't even know what we're talking about anymore, but yeah, I'm here in Pennsylvania and you're all the way in Chicago now,
in Chicago, Illinois, como dices tú.
Oh, good. You stopped saying Illinois.
I mean, that's how you pronounce it in Spanish, so people can suck my balls. I don't care.
Ew.
Well, you'll be surprised.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
So, yes, I'm here after a crazy road trip, cross-country road trip, basically, from Vegas. And it's been interesting. I'm just trying to adjust to a new life, and it's insane. But I'm starting my semester next week at UIC. It's out of the closet. I met the person who hired me. She's like, oh, so tell me who this Babelito is. And I was like, ah! But it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. What did you tell her?
I tell her what we do and what, and she thought it was wonderful. And like other scholars think it's the future of academia, because academia is becoming obsolete. So it's actually, it's been interesting. But I don't know. It's good. It's good. It's just a lot going on. The food is amazing here, so I cannot complain.
Get into it then. What have you eaten in Chicago?
Well, today I had Thai food. I had fried pork with rice. That was fucking good. But bitch, es que no what? Mames, lo que se te ocurra de Mexican food is here, because I'm moving to Pilsen at the end of the month. And I went to this restaurant called Five Rabanitos. Shout out to Five Rabanitos. I've eaten there like 3 times already. Every single thing in the menu is insane. Like, I cannot even begin. Like, I can't wait for you to eat there. It's amazing. And it's 2 blocks from my apartment. Everything. Caldo de camarones. Torta de milanesa. Torta de choriqueso. Everything is amazing. So, I mean, Chicago is a foodie's place, you know, like it's a foodie's paradise. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. ¿Y tú qué show? ¿Cómo van los tacos de allá?
Well, I haven't had a lot of tacos, but, you know, the food is great. Let's see. What have I eaten so far that was good? Oh, you know, I went to visit my friend Z1, and shout out to Z1 and Allie in Pittsburgh, and I met one of our listeners, Perry. They were really cool. They gave me a tour of Pittsburgh the 3 days that I was there, and we ate at a lot of really cool places. There's a lot of Polish people that live in Pittsburgh, so we went to this like ultra hipster vegan like Polish spot, because you know how I love cabbage, and I put it together. You know what the first thing I bought when I came here to Pennsylvania?
No mames, un pinche repollo.
I bought cabbage, yeah. And I made this really great slaw with sesame oil and honey. Girl, I gotta give you the recipe. Anyway.
Look at you. Wow.
I know, I'm a regular Martha Stewart. So, Martha Stewart. Yeah, the food was really great in Pittsburgh. What else did we eat? I'm trying to think. Oh my God. There was really good tacos there. We went to this carniceria called Las Palmas. And I am on this vegetarian, vegan lifestyle right now, but there was nothing there for me. So then I do like the next best thing, which is like order not red meat, you know? Yeah. So I had the chicken tacos there and they were bomb. And while I was there, I got really angry because this white man was acting a fool. And this brings me to several things that I want to talk about that have been on my spirit, as they say.
Go for it.
But first, I need to adjust my microphone because it's like falling. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Here's a few things, a few pointers. Okay.
Okay.
This person made me so angry that I really considered like punching this guy in the throat.
No.
Like, I was so mad that after this incident, I said, when I get back to Las Vegas, I'm going to enroll in like self-defense and boxing classes because I want to be able to beat somebody up. And you know, I'm a very non-violent person.
Well, that's why I'm just like, what?
I know, but some people, but this guy was such a fucking idiot that I know that's the only way anything could get through to him.
Okay, what happened?
Anyway, okay. So it's like a carniceria, right? On the inside, just like any other fucking store. It's beautiful. You know that smell of a carniceria when it smells like raw meat mixed with fresh baked goods?
It's like,
you know,
heaven. It's like, yes,
oh
bitch.
My, the air is thick with microbes. So it's like nourishing. You're like, all the probiotics you need are right there, right? Okay. And then you walk outside, ahí está puesto el taquero, right there, mm-hmm. right at the entrance. So then you can order your tacos. You can eat on the stoops of all the houses around. Okay, so the taco guy's there, and there's a white guy with obviously like an Asian girlfriend that he's trying to impress. It's like probably like their first or second date. Mm-hmm. And I'm just judging by the body language. They don't really know each other that much. And he's paying her to
hang
out with
him. They met in OkCupid.
No, girl. No. Oh, my God. Oh, you can't even do Craigslist meetups anymore. Damn, that's how do people find each other? Anyway, so... okay. So then the guy is cooking the tacos for him. He's ordering the tacos. And then the guy goes, andale, andale. He just starts yelling, andale, andale, like a Speedy Gonzalez cartoon.
Fucking Gonzalez, estúpido.
And I could see the taquero like gave him like the death stare, like, don't talk to me that way.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to do it again. And then he got so mad, but you can't do anything because he didn't want to cause a scene, right?
Right.
So he just like smiled, and I could see his hand. He like gripped the fucking spatula a little harder, like he was gonna throw it at him, but then just kept doing his job, right? Okay. The taquero finishes the tacos. He starts to plate them, and then as he's going, the man reaches around the taco cart and grabs mm-hmm. his own plate, like starts grabbing a plate to like separate the tacos. No. One thing you don't ever fucking do is touch a taco cart or touch any of the tools on a taco cart. First of all, it's unsanitary.
Right.
Second, there was like a glass thing. So he reached over the glass thing to like grab the napkins and grab the plates. You don't fucking do that. Okay.
Ugh.
Oh, everybody was like, I was just like on edge, and I could see everybody around, all the Mexicans that were there were just like looking at each other like, can you believe this guy? And he just kind of stands there and takes up so much fucking space, of course.
Of course, because, you know, whiteness.
Like, yeah, like, aren't these tacos good? Blah, blah, blah. And we ordered our tacos, and right after we ordered, the taquero had to go inside and like be away from him, and we like walked halfway down the block because I did not want to even be close to this person.
That shit is hard, so, especially when you're on the other side of the counter. First of all, you cannot jump. Second of all, you shouldn't jump at them. And third of all, it's like you don't want to lose your job, and you don't know what kind of person this is and what kind of scene they will cause. So you're just like, I bet he just went in the back and fucking breathe. Have a cigarette. Ugh, so gross.
Okay, so the lesson here is,
mm-hmm.
A, don't touch a taquero or a taquera's cart. It's not yours. Even if you fucking know them and they know you by name, be respectful. That's like going into somebody's grandma's house and opening their fridge without asking, okay?
All
That's just
right.
rude. Second, if you see a Mexican person or a Latino person and you are not, and you just learned how to speak Spanish on a trip to Guatemala, or you've been doing Duolingo, don't talk to us in Spanish. That's one of my biggest pet peeves. When people find out that I'm from Mexico or my family's from Mexico, and they just start speaking in Spanish to me, it's like so disrespectful. It's so... In a way, you know, I'm actually going to use this word, and I hate when people use it. It's really triggering because mm-hmm. most of us that have English as a second language have studied so hard to perfect English without an accent so that we can pass, so that we can assimilate, so that we're not made fun of. And then for you to come here and just start speaking this fucked up Spanish, and then to try to impress us.
And think it is cute.
Oh, my God. God, it pisses me off so much. So unless I am speaking to you in Spanish, why the fuck are you talking to me in Spanish? It boggles my mind every time that happens. Oh, anyway. Pittsburgh was great.
I was about to say, so you're having a great experience in the East Coast.
Oh, you know what? Well, I went to the Andy Warhol Museum, and that was cool. Uh-huh. And Mr. Rogers was actually based out of Pittsburgh. And you know how Mr. Rogers...
I saw your story, girl.
She's my hero. So, like, we went to the Heinz History Museum, which is there in Pittsburgh, and they have the set for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood
on
display. No, I didn't cry because I'm not a weak ass bitch. But I did have yeah, I was crying. No, but it was really cool to see like everything up close and see how I'm like, this is why I make art with paper and cardboard. This is exactly what the Mr. Rogers set was. It's just like chicken wire and like paper and fabric. It was really cool to see it up close.
That's a good combination of Mr. Rogers and Andy Warhol. Like that it's a good commentary on your art.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's awesome. So how long are you going to be there?
I will be here until September 7th, right after the opening. And then I'm flying to Portland, Maine. I'm going to go hang out there again for a week. Mm-hmm. Can't get enough of Portland. Then I'm going to go to Boston for a couple days. And then I'll be in New York City till October, mid-October.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening.
Yeah, so if there's any listeners in New York, I'll be working at the Sugar Hill Children's Museum of Art and Storytelling mid-September to mid-October. And if y'all want to come through, mm-hmm. come through.
Well, I've been here. I went to DC for a little bit, but my parents insisted on taking me cross country because they love a road trip, man. They fucking love it. So we visited Maddie. Shout out to La Maddie in Denver, Colorado. We stayed with her for a night. That was very nice. And then we drove through Nebraska. It was a fucking nightmare. Everything is flat there. We went to
everything is what?
Flat. Like the landscape is flat and there's like no mountains. That's one thing that is driving me crazy about here. There's no mountains. And I've lived my entire life with a mountain range somewhere in Juarez, in El Paso, in Albuquerque, like everywhere. So not seeing mountains and just buildings, it's freaking me out a little bit. But anyway, so we drove through Nebraska and we stopped at a McDonald's in Nebraska. As soon as I got there, I was talking to my parents, hey, ¿qué quieren ordenar? Like, I was asking them in Spanish what they wanted, you know, so I can order for them. I couldn't even start talking, and the guy looked at me, he goes, do you need somebody to speak Spanish for you? Like, mm-hmm. And I looked at him, I turned my neck, and I said, absolutely not. And he gave me the biggest eyes. I gave him the fucking biggest eyes back, and I started ordering in English. And he was mad taking my order, and I was mad fucking placing my order, but I didn't give a fuck. And then we stopped.
What'd you order?
Oh, ¿qué pedí?
Chicken nuggets?
No, my griddles, girl. Like, that's my weakness.
Oh, breakfast.
I only do breakfast in McDonald's, and that's only in road trips. But anyway.
She has standards, people.
Of course I do. I hate. That's why I don't like, I mean, I love road trips, but that's why I hate road trips, because you just gotta do fast food. It fucking sucks. Anyway, so I ordered my McGriddle. We went, we continue, and before Nebraska ends, my parents stop at KFC. Because they wanted food, and I was like, fine.
El Kentucky.
So I stayed in the car talking on the phone, and they went inside, and then they came back 5 minutes later. And I was like, Dad, what happened? Because I thought they were going to eat and chill. I was like, hay puro pinche güero ahí, y se le quedan viendo a uno, y me siento bien incómodo, ya vámonos. I was like, damn, I hate this state. I'm sure it's not the whole entire state. I'm sure we have listeners in Nebraska. Shout out to everybody. Tell us your experience, because my little experience in rural Nebraska was rude and it was annoying. We enter Iowa and like the landscape started to change. It looked a little bit like fucking like Italy. People were so nice. I was just like, oh, okay. Not the entire world is fucking evil. Everything is fine. And we got here to Chicago, and it's been great. Like, people here are amazing. So I took my parents on a lake like tour, because my friend here has like a little boat, and we spent some time in the lake, and then we went through the river, and we had sandwiches. I pee in the river. It was great.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, they, because last time they were here, my aunt lived here. This was like 15 years ago. And I don't think she lived in a very nice area of town. So they have like a really weird idea of Chicago. But now they're just like, they're so happy. They're like, oh, no, no, no. Chicago is great. Chicago is beautiful. Because it is. It's fucking beautiful up here. And the food is amazing. So I can, I mean, it's, I can wait. I can wait to explore everything.
Have you had deep dish pizza yet?
Yes, that was the first thing I had.
Can you describe it in detail, please?
Actually, my deep dish experience wasn't that deep, but it was fucking good. It was como un cuarto de pulgada deep. But I've seen some stuff that it's like an inch deep.
Well, that's all you need, baby.
I mean, you need 3 inches, bitch, but we're not going to get into it.
Hey, everybody's different. Okay, so what's your plan? When does school start?
School starts on Monday. I am working on my syllabi right now. I'm excited and I'm terrified, but I don't know. Wait, man. Like,
school starts on Monday and you still haven't turned in your syllabus?
No, they give you like an extra week after you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So class I pretty much have ready, and the second class, I'm creating my own methodology of how to look at Mexican art. And this is the first time that I get the opportunity to do that. So that's taking a lot of work. But
what classes are you teaching?
So I'm teaching a survey on colonial Latin America. So I have to include Peru and the Southwest. So we're going to talk about Tucson. I'm going to use those pictures of when we went to Tucson. Shout out to everybody in Tucson.
Yes.
That was a great experience. So I'm going to include some of that. I'm going to include maybe New Mexico and some California missions and also some Peru. And then the second class is I made it up. It's the history of sentimentality and how human feelings and basically the objectifying bodies of the female bodies and indigenous bodies has been used to manipulate everything from developing feelings of the nation to developing new sort of laws, you know? So I'm looking at the history of how the native body, how the indigenous body has been manipulated for that by the Mexican government. And in a way, like, those are things that, like, we have talked about in the podcast and I've explored in other essays, but this is going to be through the lens of sentimentality. So I'm pretty fucking excited about that. It's just that it's a lot of work, but it's good. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Café Tacuba is coming here for my birthday twice in a row, so life cannot get better. Fuck yeah.
Damn, how many times have you seen Café Tacuba?
This two concerts are going to be concert number 19 and concert number 20th.
Wow.
Boom. Oh, just to think about it, wey, se me pone la piel así de gallina.
Yes.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. But it's been a weird experience, not because of Chicago or because of its people. It's just that arriving here, and I told you that I was getting a little anxious, like arriving here hit me of how my life has changed so much, and it just all hit me at once, and it's just like I being like anxious nonstop. Like I just, I don't know what to do with it. Like they were last week, the whole entire week, in 5 days, I think I had 5 meals, like little meals, because I couldn't eat. Like I just didn't work. And thank God I have insurance. So I'm looking into therapy and all of that. But it's just crazy how at the surface you think you have shit figured out and you think you're moving along, but there's always deeper stuff. There's always, always deeper stuff. And it comes out of nowhere. And sometimes you can control it. Sometimes you have the appropriate tools to deal with it. And sometimes you don't. And it happens that I don't. I don't have the tools to deal with it. I don't know what's happening. Like, every fucking morning is different. I just want to be sleeping all day. And it's not good. Like, I need to snap out of it, you know? But that's why there's professionals for that. And I'm looking forward to get more into it because it's...
Yeah.
No se explica, güey. It's so weird.
Well, the hardest thing is actually doing it. So, like, You can say you're looking into it, but actually doing it is what is scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and it's just, I was looking forward to this as a change in my life, but I just realized that it's a transitory stage in my life. And as a transitory stage, it's almost like the whole theory of liminality. Like, you have to reevaluate everything about your life, from what you came before and where you're going after. And that's exactly what's happening to me. I'm reevaluating the past 5 years, and I'm thinking the next 5 years. So I'm in this between stage, and it's terrifying. Like, it's fucking terrifying. And sometimes,
what are you scared of?
There's just so much. There's just so much that I didn't plan. Normally, I always have a 5-year plan, and this is the first time that I don't know what the fuck is going on. All I know is that I need to get to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's very scary. And I thought I had shit figured out a long time ago, and it turns out that I don't. And that's okay. Like, I need to first allow myself the room to accept that, fuck, I just moved across the country. I left everything. A year ago, I lost everything that I fucking owned. A lot of things have changed. I have a new job, new friends. I'm by myself here, even though I have wonderful people. Shout out to my friend Louis, who's allowing me to stay with him for a couple of weeks. So I am rich in a lot of resources.
I am very rich.
Very rich, bitch. But at the same time, everything is different, and it's fucking me up. Like, it's so crazy. It's totally fucking me up. But
yeah, I mean, it's hard, especially if you didn't really, you were just like, go, 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 and you didn't really prepare for anything. So yeah, I guess being still now, it's all like flooding, right?
It's
into your brain.
Getting on the bus, getting on the metro, getting on a fucking Uber, Lyft.
It doesn't matter.
I guess they're all Trump supporters, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't have a minute of peace in my brain. And it's hard. But, you know, like, I'm also in a very privileged position, and I'm moving up. So I need to keep that in mind, you know, that I'm working towards something. So I don't know, man. It's a lot. Pero aquí estamos.
Cool. Well, I don't know how to help you because I'm also fucked, but I'm not going to get as vulnerable as you just did. So I'm doing great.
I know. Like,
I'm doing great by myself. Huh?
I thought about it because I avoid getting vulnerable in the podcast. But I don't know. I feel like it was a good opportunity to show people that this type of things happen to everybody. You know how many times I've meet listeners and I meet people that, you know, that have listened to the podcast or whatever, and they're like, oh, you sound so different. Oh, that's not the personality I thought you had in the podcast. No, because we try to create a space where we're positive, where we want to take a different stand on what's happening in the world or whatever. But the reality is that, like, we all go through this fucking shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking about that recently with somebody, how, like, our podcast personality, you know what? It's a lot, because it's very interesting, because I navigate through a lot of different worlds, and for each of those, I code switch, and I am a different character. But because people listen to the podcast, they always expect me to be the podcast person. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, at like when I work with a museum, and the museum knows about the podcast, and they listen to it, they're expecting that person. And then when I'm just, like, quiet and, like, just working, they're always like, oh, well, where's the, you know, like, they want me to perform all the time, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll do it, and it's not because I want to, but it's just because it's easier to function as that person. It's almost like I mean, I do it on purpose, I think, to protect myself, because it's like a, it's like a character. It's like a drag queen. Like, you are this, like, when I'm wearing my uniform and I go to work, and I'm this person, you know? Mm-hmm. And the person when we first started the podcast was the same, but it's kind of shifted.
Of course.
So now I have to like balance between like my true self, the podcast self, like the in-person persona. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot. It's a lot to keep track of. I think in the beginning it was to set boundaries for myself, but now it's just become this whole thing where I don't know what the fuck's happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm figuring, you know what has actually been helping me out a lot?
Yeah.
I've been listening to Katya's new podcast.
Uh-huh. Is it hilarious?
She is insane, but there is so many nuggets of wisdom in that podcast because obviously she's going to therapy every day and she just had a mental break. And like a lot of the signs that she was talking about, a lot of things that happened to her before she had her mental breakdown, before she quit drag, are like, oh, I relate to what she's saying. You know, and then just the way that she talks, her philosophy about a lot of stuff is super interesting to listen to. But anyway, she has actually a lot of really good tips about how to deal with like what you're talking about. Like, you know, you're going to wake up and you're going to feel shitty someday, but you have to like get through it. And she has a lot of experience getting through life because she's been through addiction and depression and just a lot of different things. So it's been cool listening to people's stories.
Bitch, never
her stories.
Never in my life have I not waken up on time just because I don't want to deal with things ever. Like, just, you know, like you're sleeping, I'm like, oh, I want to sleep another hour just so I don't have to deal with shit for another hour. Like, I never done that. And now I find myself waking up in the morning and like making myself sleep more so I don't have to, you know. It's so crazy, but I'm gonna try that podcast. See, a ver que me ayuda la Katia.
She's not gonna help you, girl. You need to go. Just go to therapy, bitch.
I'm going. No, it's
what you better. You just call them tomorrow and set an appointment. No, that's how easy it is.
It's not because insurance hasn't kicked in, and I have to choose a very specific type of insurance. So I have to go to a fucking seminar that explains what type of insurance worked better.
All I hear is excuses.
This is the first time where I'm going to be 100% honest. And it's like, I am ready. Like, I'm fucking ready. It's just going to, you know, I wish I could just go tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
That shit is expensive, man.
I know, bitch. It is. It's a privilege. That's how it's been set up. I wish it was affordable.
Yeah.
Someday, maybe. Who knows?
Ay, no, qué escándalo. Qué desmadre. Qué desorden.
Have you been watching any TV?
Casa de las Flores, like, I almost gone in my second show. I watched it with my mom because my mom was here. So it came out on Friday.
Okay, can you explain? What is it?
Okay, Casa de las Flores is a show that it's produced by Netflix. It stars Cecilia Suarez as Paulina. I think this is the most iconic character coming out of Mexican TV in fucking decades.
What is the show about?
The show, oh, espérate, y también tiene esta, ¿cómo se llama? Verónica Castro, who's like a fucking soap opera star.
Bitch, if you don't know who Verónica Castro is, put your life together.
Google it, pendejas.
Google it, locas.
Google estúpidas.
Estupen, Google it. Oh my God. Verónica Castro is a fucking legend. Okay.
Oh my God. Oh, remember that drag queen in LA?
Do I remember her, bitch? I wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweat sometimes, and who do I see? That vision of that Verónica Castro impersonator just floating above me, and I'm like, is this one of those sleep paralysis dreams? God, I hope it is, because I want to stare into the eyes of this Verónica Castro impersonator for the rest of my life. Yes, I know. I remember that Verónica Castro impersonator.
Oh my God, so good.
In LA. Oh my God. Shout out to her. We saw her at Tempo like months ago. It was amazing.
So that was amazing. But we, anyway, so the show is about this rich, rich, rich family that owns a flower shop. Like, they're so fancy that they decorate the weddings of like people in the government and shit like that, but they hold a secret, and I don't want to spoil.
Spoil anything.
Anyway, they also owned a drag queen house. That's all I'm going to say.
What? Okay, don't say anymore.
And it's called Casa de las Flores.
I've been saving that. That's really funny that it's named that. So I'm going to watch it, but I'm waiting because our friend Luis Rodriguez from Baltimore is going to come visit this week. So we're going to watch it together. I'm very, very excited. And I was going to watch it, but I've been busy watching Orange is the New Black. Because I love that show, and I know people hate it, or like a lot of people like after the third season stop watching it, but I love the characters on that show, and I just, except for Piper, duh, but I just finished watching the sixth season of that show.
Yeah. Well, you have to be careful because with Casa de las Flores, like, there's like almost like a syndrome. Everybody's talking like the Cecilia Suarez character. Ay, mama, si vieras que las cosas no son tan sencillas. And it's annoying in the first episode, and by the third episode, you cannot stop talking like that. There's even a fucking hashtag. It's called, like, Paulina de la Mora Challenge or something. It's like, this girl, she created her own fucking icon, and everybody's running with it. There's fucking t-shirts that people are making. It's just amazing. So good. And so is The Life of Luis Miguel, which you need to watch too. It's so good.
So did you hear me talk about Orange is the New Black or no?
No, I didn't. All I can think about is Casa de las Flores.
Okay, because I just full on talked about it and you just dismissed it like I didn't talk about it.
Because I lost interest on that show so long ago. Like, it just pissed me off. I just couldn't get into it. I tried in the third season and y me perdió. I watched the first two seasons.
Yeah, I guess if it's not relatable to you, I don't know. I mean, I've never been to jail, so I don't know what it's like, but
right.
I liked it in the beginning, and I'm still going to watch it until it ends. I don't know.
¿Cuánto va a durar?
Probably next season, I think, is the last season.
Wow. How many seasons? Yeah.
Six, seven.
Oh, that's not bad. I thought they were like in the fucking 10th season or something like that.
No. Oh, my gosh. Oh, and Insecure just started again. There's so many shows. So many shows. I mean, beautiful shows. Great shows.
Did you? I disconnected HBO, but I guess it's time. I guess it's time to reconnect it.
Girl, okay. I'm going to show you how to Google some things. You don't have to get HBO, bitch. All right.
Download shit like that and me da miedo, güey. Por eso hasta pago por RuPaul.
Who's RuPaul?
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Are you going to do the sound, or?
Afuera. Afuera, tú no existes, solo adentro.
I think I know what song you're singing.
You were able to,
I was
to discern?
The last part I was able to discern. Let's start again from that last part.
Afuera tú no existes, solo adentro. Afuera.
That's right. I am singing a song by the seminal rock and español band Caifanes. But tell everybody why, Fabi.
Because they're going to be in Vegas, dude.
Damn.
September 14th, right in time for Mexican Independence Day. That's right, people. Cinco de Mayo is not a real holiday. No, it is real, but only in Puebla, Mexico.
Exactly.
But our Independence Day is actually September 16th. So come check out. I don't know why I'm saying both dates. The date that Caifanes is here is on the 14th. They're going to get the party started. And they're coming with another band that I'm really excited about.
Toda la raza está representada en este evento. Well, raza, eleganza, extravaganza.
The Mexican raza.
Right, right, right.
Okay.
Yes. Banda Sinaloense de Sergio Lizárraga, also known as Banda Más.
Wow. I love the tuba. Do you have a tuba player?
Dude, I'm pretty sure. Look, there's like 20 fucking members in this band.
There better be a damn tuba.
There's gotta be a tuba player.
No, there's a
you
tuba
know
player.
That.
I see the tuba player. He's got really strong shoulders. I'm into it. I'm into it. That's right. Viernes, 14 de septiembre, en el MGM Grand en vivo. Get your tickets now through AXS.com. Caifanes.
Y banda sinaloense de Sergio Lizárraga.
Can you believe it?
No me la puedo
Snap
creer.
Snap out of it. Because they coming.
Afuera.
Yahweh.
Tiddly, 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 psh.
Today's episode is brought to you by the original Lindo Michoacan. Oh my God. Lindo Michoacan. I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast
so
before.
So many times, but so good. It's worth way. La what? Sopa de fideo.
Yes.
Mira.
What?
La pruebo. Y caigo en un abismo de pasión.
Oh my God. Eso es una pendeja.
I love it.
No, but for real, like the chips and salsa there, the beans.
Todo, güey.
The beans.
Todo. Yes.
You can always judge a Mexican restaurant by the beans.
Exactly.
If they're good.
And you know it's, I was going to say authentic. And you know it's good.
Authentico.
Because that's the first thing they serve you when you arrive to the restaurant. So.
I know. And so we're really excited to announce a partnership with Lindo Michoacan, the original one, on Desert Inn. They are giving Latinos Who Lunch listeners a 25% discount.
Vámonos pues.
Bye.
Adiós.
So if you go to Lindo Michoacan, the original Lindo Michoacan on Desert Inn here in Las Vegas, make sure you mention that you are a Latinos Who Lunch listener. They will give you 25% off.
That's
a lot.
That's a lot of
money. I'm getting an egg on my torta. I'm getting the tableside guacamole.
So if you eat four times a week there, you save a whole meal.
Oh my God. It's the best deal in town. And if you're not sure where it is, just follow your nose. Like, it's going to take you right to Lindo.
When you get out of the airport, when you get out of the plane, la nariz.
Just go straight to Lindo Michoacan. Or just Google it, just to be safe.
Google it, okay.
All right, so again, the original Lindo Michoacan at 2655 East Desert Inn Road here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Lindo Michoacan, save water, drink margaritas. And we're back.
Hi.
Hi. All right, you want to read some listener letters, Babalito?
Down.
Okay, I got a couple up. Maybe do we have time for both? Maybe. I got one about breakups and one about ancestry. Which one should I read first?
Ancestry, bitch.
Okay. I just got a flash flood warning on my phone. Our first letter is from Noemi, and she asks us, what do you think about ancestry kits? What do you think about all that, like ancestry.com and all that shit?
I don't like it, but I understand why people feel the need to find out more. I think the problem is not the kits. The problem is to what end do you do those kits? Because the thing is that a lot of people want to find out how much minority they have on them so they can exploit it and appropriate it. Because, remember we talk about this commercial. It's like, oh, I just figured out, I just realized that I'm 20% Pueblo native and now I'm making fucking pottery. Like, no, bitch. Like, you need to be born with that, you know? Like, it's just, it doesn't work like that. So part of me is very curious to do them just because I feel there's a lot of Jewish ancestry in my family, given the fact that we're from the north. But at the same time, it's not going to change who I am, who my family is, and where I come from. So at the same time, I'm just like, no, I really don't care. So I haven't done it. But I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's important for people that don't have a sense of history or don't feel rooted in a certain culture. I think specifically for white people, I think it's a big deal. Because, you know, a lot of people lost their culture when they colonized and murdered everybody to be in this country. So I think that to those people, it's important. And, you know, I mean, I kind of would like to know, like, where I'm from specifically. But then I also know the downside to it is, like, having these ancestry kits, a lot of people kind of dismiss family stories that aren't that are proven wrong through the kits, yeah. You know? Or, like, I don't know. To me, like, oral history and chisme is really important, you know? And, like, storytelling is super important because that really does shape the identity of a family. And it's real. And sometimes these ancestry results don't actually tell the full story. So anyway, and also I also know that like some of these companies like 23andMe and Ancestry.com are selling all the information
to insurance companies,
to insurance corporations to determine pre-established pre-existing conditions, and that's really fucked up.
So that is fucked up.
Just read the fine print, people, before you do these kits.
But and it's interesting what you mentioned, because us as a society would value a certain form of history, and it always have to be written. So while you said that, like, cheese man oral history, that's something that we dismiss. But just like we take cheese man with a grain of salt, we also have to take written history and this type of results. Just because they are backed by science doesn't mean shit. We have to remember that science in the history of this country and also in the fucking West, it's a fucking cult. It's a cult that has affected a lot of minorities for a long, long time. So just because something is backed by science doesn't mean that it's truth and it's not going to change your reality. So I will be very careful.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of Mexicans out there, Latinos, that are like, you know, blood is thicker than water, or whatever the fuck that's supposed to mean. And like, blood isn't everything. Like,
right.
You can have family members that are not related to you at all. And those influences and those parts of families are also really important. So, you know, just because you're not blood related doesn't mean you're not family. Specifically in the LGBT IQA plus community, right? There's like so many different types of families. So that also is problematic, because it kind of erases all that, which I don't agree with either.
Yeah, it's interesting. But I don't know, like if te gusta, pues llégale. Like, whatever, you know?
Pues llégale. Oh, my goodness. Should we do another question? All right. Our next question comes from Juan. And again, if you want to send us questions, you can send us an email at asklwlpod@gmail.com.
Wait, Before you continue, you say Juan, and I want to give the biggest shout out to Juan Fernandez, who we Skype for 2 hours, and he was just like so fucking amazing, taking me through some of these changes. He was super, 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 super mega helpful. Juanito, I love you. I owe you one. That's it. Continue with the letter.
So now that we're giving shout outs, I want to give a shout out to my friend Jesus. I like to call him Sweet Baby Jesus, and this is for real. You know who you are, okay? And we'll be together soon. I'll see you in the spring, baby. Okay, ready?
I wait. I need to know more. You're gonna do that to me.
Okay, ready?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So this is from our listener, Juan. How do you guys deal with breakups? Is there a way for both people to remain friends without having any romantic interest? At this point, I feel like I'm just trying to get by each day, and just by reminding myself that my friends have been there to dry my tears and mend my broken heart back again. It's really hard to wake up each day and realize that I was never given the opportunity to show the other person how special and important they were. There's only one thing left for me to do, and it's just to learn to love myself once again. I want them to know, this, and it's a quote. If I could give you one thing in life, I would give you the ability to see yourself through my eyes. Only then will you realize how special you are to me. And that quote is from none other than your fave, Frida Kahlo. And he writes, I know that Babelito really dislikes Kahlo, but this is probably the only quote that can describe how much the other person still means to me. Thank you so much again. And if you guys ever... Oh, I'm not going to read that part. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Juan. So, okay. This is the problem with breakups, that we tend to forget that it's two people. Yeah. Right? And the thing about wanting to become friends with somebody else, that it's not up to you, man. And like, the reality about relationships is that sometimes somebody loves more than another person, maybe a lot more, maybe a lot less. You don't know. Everybody's different. Every relationship is different. With that said, if another person is not ready to be your friend or doesn't want to be your friend because they are more hurt or because they love you a lot more, which is okay to accept as well, that you need to let them go. because you just can't. And some people said like, oh yeah, I want to be friends or whatever. That doesn't mean that you're more mature. It just means that it's a different, you had a different experience that they did, even though you guys were together. Like, there's two separate entities. But the breakup, it's also two separate entities, and it's very fucking difficult and complicated, you know?
Yeah, I mean, usually being friends after a breakup doesn't really work. It really doesn't. Maybe with time, maybe if you meet that person in another time of your life where you're both, you know, like different people, maybe. But I don't know how these white people do it. They just like hang out with each other still. And I'm like, that's not real. So,
but this is the thing, like maybe there's like superficial, I mean, not to, how do you call it? Not to underestimate people's relationship, but maybe your relationship was not as meaningful, and maybe like it was short. So becoming a friend with somebody, it is going to become, it's going to be difficult. But if you spend years and you spend your life, blah 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 blah, then it's going to be a lot harder. And again, your experience doesn't reflect his or her experience, so you just have to respect, because that's one thing. If you're not going to have the friendship, at least you can have respect for each other. And that's, I think, more important.
And the other question was, how do you deal with breakups? That's a big question.
It's a huge question. I don't think there's an answer for that.
Yeah, because everybody's different, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm super dramatic. I'm super mega fucking dramatic. I am like, when it comes to relationships, I'm a fucking telenovela all the way through. And also for breakups. So I don't know, like, and it depends on the nature of the relationship. Maybe it ended tragically. Maybe it ended in a beautiful note. Like, it's hard to tell. But I mean, we all deal with our mental health in a different way, you know.
Yep. Okay. Do you have any recommendations, Babalito?
Yes. Do I have? Well, first of all, I want to recommend for everybody to watch Casa de las Flores so we can discuss it in the next episode. I'm not going to give away too much, and I feel like I already gave away a lot. But also, there is an album that I've been listening to a lot. And this is an album by a Puerto Rican band. They are called Los Walters. This album came out not too long ago, maybe like a month or two ago. And the name of the album is called Caramelo. And it's a short album. It's like an EP. It has 5 songs. But I downloaded it from my Spotify. So it's been... I've been in like 4 planes since then, or when we're in the road, that's the only album that was available offline, and I've been listening to it nonstop, and it's kind of been like good, like you know, self-care type of album, because it's just so soothing. If you like MGMT, this is like Puerto Rican MGMT, but good. Like, it's so, so, so nice. Again, the name of the album is Caramelo. It just came out a couple of weeks ago, and this is by a band, Los Walters.
Cool.
¿Y tú?
I'm actually going to recommend an app this time. It's called Libby. Do you know what the Libby app is?
Mm-mm. Explícame.
Well, it's a library app. So it's something you download on your phone. Mm-hmm. And with your local library card, you can sign into it and download audiobooks, have audiobooks, rent, check out audiobooks from your local library directly to your phone or to your Kindle. It's fucking cool. So as long as you have a library card, you just put it into the system and it shows you what they have, and you can check it out through the apps. So it's that simple. You don't even have to go to the library anymore to check out books.
That's good, because there's a couple of French novels that I have to read for my class that I do not want to read because I already know they're going to fucking suck, but I still have to read them. Yeah. And I need them in audiobooks, so I'm going to check it out. And I hate to read, so it's perfect.
Yes. So shout out to my friend Kim for that suggestion. She told me about it recently.
Sweet.
Oh my god, this episode was a fucking mess. I can't.
I was just thinking the same, but it's all right. I mean, fuck, we're trying, man. Like, It's crazy.
It's hard. Not enough, Babelito. As queer men of color, we have to be excellent at everything we do for people to take us seriously.
Ay, no, qué horror,
I don't understand your white man mentality. You're like, ah, whatever, it's fine. Like, we're not living in that world.
We're putting out an episode every fucking week. We're in different cities and we're still making it work. Like, fucking deal with it, people.
Oh my god.
Qué culero me oí, ¿verdad?
I know, you're such a
bitch. I take it back.
I'm supposed to be the bitch. I'm the villain. You're the victim. This is how this podcast works.
Ay, oh my gosh. Chicago me está cambiando. Ay, no.
I know.
Andale, poor girl. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be here, huh?
I get there Friday, yeah. En la mañana.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll see you.
That's going to be fun. All right. And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Please email us at asklwlpod@gmail.com. Again, asklwlpod@gmail.com. If you have a moment, please donate. You can Cash App us. You can Venmo us, PayPal us. Someday I'll set up a Patreon and you'll be able to do that. And if you can't do that, at least leave us a review, 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and that's essential.
That's right. Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Oh. Wait. We should do the thing where we tell them what's coming up next week.
Ay, pues, para continuar the family ties, now we're going to have Emmanuel's mom coming next
week. Yeah, so we interviewed Emmanuel, what's his last name?
Ramos Barajas.
Ramos Barajas last time, and now his video partner, Rosa Mama, Mama Rosa, is going to be next episode, and we are so excited to share that with you. And if you don't speak Spanish, well, too bad, because guess what, Mimi? The whole interview is in Spanish.
Not only that, this is probably one of the first times we eat on the microphone, like we eat on the episode in a long time.
It was so much fun. She was so cool. Yeah, so if you don't speak Spanish and you listen to Latinos Who Lunch, download Duolingo. You have a whole week to learn an entire language. Get to it. Okay, bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.